Hello, guys. Hey, I began my career in the cotton industry in the early 1970s with the commercial development and marketing of the Cotton Module Builder. I mention that because it was in the middle 70s was the first time I had any association with trying to densify gin waste. In the 16 years I was with the gin companies, we really didn't pay a lot of attention to gin waste other than the fact we wanted to remove it from the seed cotton and then get it away from the gin. But I also noted during that period of time that every 6 or 8 years, someone come up with some incineration system that was going to, again, return energy to the gins and dispose of the waste. Somehow that never worked out. There was too much dirt or for whatever reasons. But then 8 years later, there was another trial because technology had developed more, and there was surely this time it was successful. Fortunately, at the gin companies, for us at that time, we didn't get involved in that. We just watched. 21 years ago, I joined another company that makes special baling presses for all industries in recycling and also for the gin companies. Many of you have or know of our moat presses and maybe our plastics presses for the gins. But for 15 years, I have failed, and my team has failed, trying to bale gin trash. You see the biomass? I call it biomass. I think that'll be a name everyone calls it in a few years. We know where it goes. We know how it stacks up. We know what it looks like. We know what can happen. This photo is only of 2 years ago. The guys in our shop aren't very appreciative of our gin trash test within our shop. We never have things set up, but we've tried many things. Most of them didn't work. This did. About a year and a half ago, we finally progressed to a level, and Wes Morgan and I knew in middle or early of November of 2013 that bale was the answer. The bale is 24 inches by 24 inches, approximately 55 inches long, is densified to about 29 pounds a cubic foot. So it weighs 550, 575. The perfect bale to me is 24 inches by 24 inches by 60, 30 pounds a cubic foot density, weighs 600 pounds. I think Wes and others prefer a little bit lighter weight bale. For the month of December of last year, spending a lot of time with the press, we started adding automation. We looked at it, we watched it, we knew we could make the bales, but we saw how hard someone was working or how hard Wes was working or maybe how hard I was working to keep the press making those consistent bales. So we started automatically inserting plastic straps. Plastic strap, we believe, is essential. Then we discovered, Wes discovered primarily, well, since we're automatically inserting it, we can make a loop on the other side. And then off-season, we took what we had, moved our controls to one side now because the operator only has to be on one side. In fact, the operator only has less than 2 minutes worth of work to do per bale. How to make a market. I think this is an important part of the conversation because to make a market for something, the most important thing is you have to have a lot of it. It has to be packaged consistently. You have to be able to ship it. Some of the ginners know there was no market for this module wrap just 4 or 5 years ago. It was 3 cents a pound or burn it or give it away or get rid of it. And until recently, it was 22 or 23 cents a pound. Now it's fallen down since because it's petroleum-based. But there's a market for it. Now gins can justify getting rid of it. The same thing is going to happen to baled gin waste. It had to have a package. You had to be able to move it. You had to be able to handle it multiple times. Had to be able to transport it. What does not work? I told you about the years of failures that we had. I can tell you a closed-in baler doesn't work. We tried multiple ones. We built 100 different kinds of balers, off and on. I always had gen trash. We always tried to bail it. We always failed. But we didn't give up. We thought we'd have to have some type of header or footer on the baler because the wires would cut through. Then in 2008, we came up with this beautiful bale. Density about 26 pounds a cubic foot. So that bale weighed 800 pounds. Only problem is we couldn't replicate it. We couldn't make a bale after bale after bale. We could not do it at any rate. So again, we failed. So our objectives of developing Gen Trash Press were, we wanted to determine how to make marketable bales. We wanted a consistent bale size and weight so it could become a biomass byproduct. We must bale at the ginning rate. 30 bales an hour, 50 bales an hour, 60 bales an hour, whatever it is, we need to handle the gin waste just like we handle the gin moats. But we can't add labor to the gin process, so we need to at least operate with the moat press. Same operator. We need to have a clean facility, so we can't create too much dust, and I can promise you in the beginning we did create a lot of dust. We had to be able to keep shipping our bales long distance at the lowest cost, which means they've got to hold together and they've got to weigh a lot. One photo you see, we can even package it. Not that we'll need to. We don't know what we'll need to do because we don't know what the markets are going to be.
I'm Wes Morgan, Rolling Hills Gin. Been baling gin trash. We had a drought in 07. Before that, we were composting. So after about 20 phone calls in 5 days in 2007, I finally figured out there was nothing to feed the several cows that are in our state or on my side of the state. So we hauled everything away in walk-in floors, about 9 tons on an entire walk-in floor, and got rid of all the trash that year. Had several of those customers call and want a better package to be able to get that in the future. So call Raymond. He's like an hour and a half away. I already had a C&M moat press. What can I do? He said, well, you know, try a moat press. So that's what we did. We shoveled gin trash into a moat press in February and made a few moat bales, and they seemed to work. So we bought a moat press and actually used it for from 2008 until 2013. And I will say limited success. We were able to package it. We were able to move it, but we did learn a lot of things. You can kind of see this bale, bottom left and the upper right. First thing you'll notice is you don't see any green on it. That's because we used wires. Very bad idea. I promised my main customer that year I would never do that ever again. If you let gin trash get wet, it is corrosive. It will rust that wire in 30 to 60 days, and then you have a pile of wire and a pile of trash. Cows do not like that. Dairymen and beef cattle guys do not like their cows to eat metal for various reasons. So he took a Tracco and probably buried a tractor trailer load of gin trash that was damaged. So since then we have used plastic straps, so they're very essential. We have several different customers. I have a main customer that's a dairy that feeds his dry cows. He was using straw and chopping straw. This comes in at the same price or a little cheaper. He doesn't have to chop it. He can throw it straight into his mix wagon. So it was kind of a win-win for him on a couple things. Gave us a large market. We actually set him up with a skid steer and a bale clamp, just like the bale clamps on our fork trucks, so he can unload vans. That worked really good for transporting in all weather conditions. We didn't have to strap it. We didn't have to tarp it, all that kind of stuff. So we move about half of our trash that way. The moat, I don't know, I've never unloaded a moat trailer. I think that would be kind of hard just because there's no room in there. So the new package being 24 by 24 gave us several options. You got a foot on each side of the van, so it's real easy to load and unload. You also have the option of going the fourth bale high. So depending on your weight and length of trailer, you can add a few stacks of four bales high in the van and get you right at 80,000 pounds anytime you want to be there. So that actually worked out pretty good. We've also loaded flatbeds. I've got customers that unload with pallet forks on a skid steer or tractor from the side. So loading the flatbeds like that works really good for unloading from the sides. If you see the bottom right picture, We also stack six bales high, or six bales at a time, six bales long for 36 bales, put a module cover on them. You can pick them up with a module truck and deliver them that way. We've got a couple customers that we actually do that with. Another option that I've done, instead of loading the bales like we normally would moat, we actually turn them sideways in a 53-foot van, load them four high, so somebody can drive in the back with a fork truck and pull those out that way if they want to have a van but be able to unload them from the back with a fork truck. So we also loaded several of those this year, loaded walk-in floors, put nine bales on the back, walk them forward, kept doing that. So we've got several different methods. And ways there again, depending on your customers, how they're going to want it. And you know, my customers so far have been beef and dairy cows. But like he was alluding to, there's lots of different markets. I know, especially the GenLab in Lubbock's been working on several different things from insulation to and you know, burning it for energy. There's lots of different things that GenTrash may be used for in the future. But I'm assuming most of those are not going to be at my gin during my ginning season, so we're going to have to transport it and or store it and or both. So this package basically allows for that. The new press operation, this wasn't without some blood, sweat, and tears over the years. I basically hounded Raymond enough that we finally, he had developed this particular size of a bale for a different application. So we kind of worked out at a good time. I sent some trash up there, and they baled it up, and we quickly saw that it was much better than the moat press we were using. I really didn't pay much attention the first several bales that came out. I happened to look over there, and all the straps were on and all the straps were tight. And that was something different than what we tried with the moat press. Everything was always fairly loose. The moat press bales, if you moved them once or twice, you were okay. Anything past that, you were going to lose 1 out of 10 bales, just fall all apart. And this package, you can handle it 5-10 times, and I don't think you'll lose one bale out of 100. It's really tough. You'll lose the edges. You know, if you knock it around or whatnot, you'll lose a corner or something, but bale integrity is there. It's fairly phenomenal. Couple things about the press. Upper left, it's got a counter on it so you can adjust the bale length. We typically make our bales around 60 inches. You could actually make them smaller if you wanted to do that. You could actually make them up to about, we actually tried some at close to 7 feet. If you wanted to put them crossways in a van and really load it from front to back, you could do that as well. With the density, I don't think it's really necessary to make them that long to fill up a van. But once it clicks off how many it's going to do, you can see the yellow box over here. There's a strap inserter there, so it's taking those three plastic straps and pushing them across the press. That's basically the hard job that was happening before. So you can see on the right, the straps are coming out the other side. The operator basically pulls those out to the right length and cuts them off. So that happens every time it makes a bale. So that's his one job basically there, is every time it makes a bale, he pulls those out and cuts them off. The other thing is a little further down the line, he takes a strapping tool. This is a picture of another gin. They're using a pneumatic tool. We use a Signode cordless 18-volt battery-powered tool to do this. I was very skeptical of a battery-powered tool to see if that was actually going to work. But this past year, we made about 100 bales a day, and he changed the battery once or twice a day. So it worked very good. The straps look like your cotton straps, but actually we're using 5/8 040. That's about half the price of what you're using to wrap a bale of cotton with, which is 3/4 by 055. So the 5/8 040 is a lot cheaper strap. So we don't have a whole lot of cost in wrapping these up. Also only using 3 rather than 4 like you would on a moat press. You can see there on the fork truck, they handle fairly well. When they come off the end, we basically group them up in groups of 3 and then load them on whichever type, you know, whether it be a van or whether it be a flatbed or whether it be stacking a module. So we load those up like that. A couple things we've added over the past season. We put a dust collection system on there. I am very close to having my operator not wear a dust mask. I'm going to try to stop up a few holes and work on my conveyor a little bit and I'm hoping next year my operator won't have to wear a dust mask. The first year he wore 3 dust masks, one, you know, mid-morning, and he changed at lunch, and he changed again in the middle of the afternoon. So we've come a long way with that. So this is much cleaner operation. And just operation, I basically added on the end of my bail dock, put my press up here, so it's close in proximity to what we're already doing. I've got a guy that's actually, he can load bales, do moat, and do this all at the same time if he has to for an hour or so. And another installation that C&M sold this year, they actually built an entire building with the press and storage and everything out away from the gym even. So you can kind of go basically either way. Recommendations, find some customers, manage logistics to make sure you keep everything moving. Use a gin waste press. Moat press is not a very good idea. Have a diverter in case you have problems. You don't stop the gin. I would recommend that. Have some storage area in case your truck driver does not show up when he's supposed to. Plastic strapping, cordless tool actually works very well. Floor sweep, you can keep the area clean if you have somewhere to sweep it and reclaim it back into the system. And a dust control system is also a very good idea. And since we're out of time, I don't know if we have time for questions, but we'll be around afterwards. If anybody's got any questions, be glad to answer them.